At the cross. Because of what he did on the cross should dictate how we live our life. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve salvation. But he gave it to us. And I can't think of anything more to do with my life than to give it to him. And that should trump everything that we, any earthly desire we want to do from what he did at the cross for us. If you want to turn to Colossians chapter number 3 this morning, Colossians chapter 3. And I want to preach a sermon today called, Are You Living As If You Are Risen With Christ? Are you living as if you were risen with Christ? Colossians 3 verses 1 through 4 says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. If ye then be risen with Christ. Let's bow our head and pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we do thank you for what you did at the cross. And Lord, I pray that we would take that seriously. Lord, I pray that we would strive to have a life that has you as our top priority when it comes to work, when it comes to play, when it comes to service, that you are at the forefront of our mind. Lord, I pray that you would just work in this sermon, and I pray that you would help us to be better Christians because we are here today, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you then be risen with Christ, what makes this topic so important? We serve a God that is alive. Real soon we're going to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Christ. I'm reminded of the statues that I saw in Cambodia and in Thailand and different other countries. Huge statues. Statues, some of them as tall as this building. Of stone, some of wood, temples. Psalms chapter 115, verses 4 through 7, came very real and alive while watching those things. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their mouths. Our God is alive. He speaks to me. I can commune with him. I can pray to him. I can have a relationship with him. And that's what makes serving God so worth it. It's not a bunch of rituals that I'm praying to. It's not a bunch of just do these and do that. I have a personal relationship with Christ. And he is alive. And in America, we might not have big statues that we see in the middle of the highway that we bow down to, but we have our own gods that we worship here. We have our own idols that come in between us and God that become very important to us. But we need to not lose focus on why we are here, to serve a risen God, a living God. As the song says, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. And I know that because of my heart. I feel him in my heart. I know that he is alive. Do you know that Christ lives within your heart today? Are you risen with Christ? Because we are risen with Christ, he expects certain things of us. Are you on the same page as God today? Are your thoughts his thoughts? Are the way your ways his ways? The things that he wants? So many times we want to do our own thing. But when we're risen with Christ, we should have the same, want the same things that Christ wants. And if I find myself wanting different things, I need to change my wanter, as one preacher said. I need to fix that. I need to want the things that Christ wants. We go through our life and we say the right things, but do we truly believe it? Most of you here in college, and I don't believe there's one person here that was held at gunpoint to come to college or in this academy. It's very easy to put on a show. We can live the Christian life, but is it really real to us? Is it ours? Or are you here just because a pastor wants you here? Are you here because a parent wants you here? Why are you here? We serve a risen God, and that should drive us to do certain things. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? If I were to join myself to a certain group, I would be expected to fall in line with the mission of that group. I chose to join them, and if I oppose them, they wouldn't keep me around very long. Recently, I was reminded of this. I acquired some tractors of my grandfather. And my grandfather was, he probably hasn't farmed his farm for 40, 50 years. And so these tractors are pretty old. One of them was built in 1937. It's a John Deere. One of them is built in 1944, and that's a Case. So they're pushing 80 to 90 years old. I have no clue about these tractors. Grandpa was actually worried when I came to pick them up that I would not know how to drive them and that we wouldn't get them on the trailer, and we had to really convince them that we could get those things on the trailer safely. But I didn't know much about them. And one of them needed some parts, some needs fixed. So I found on Facebook a group. There's groups for everything. There's groups for John Deere tractors. And I signed up for this group to learn about John Deere tractors, old John Deere tractors. And one of the questions they said, if you're going to join this group, you are not allowed to post any pictures or questions about another make and model of a tractor. I'm like, wow, they're pretty serious. And they gave this one guy a hard time because he had a picture of a John Deere tractor, and in the background was a different brand tractor. And I'm like, we'll let that slide because the John Deere was up front. They're serious about it. We joined this group. We're not supposed to talk about any different tractor except for that one. And they were going to kick us out of the group if we didn't. And if the world can be that serious about joining a group and be that serious about 100-year-old John Deere tractors, and there's some serious people out there about it, and they spend gobs of money fixing them up, buying them, restoring them. We've joined ourselves to Christ when we accepted his gift of salvation. And yet we take it so flippantly sometimes. We don't take it seriously. If I was on the basketball team, I watched you guys play basketball at college, and I think it was the old-timer game, and was it Ilya Marks shooting at the wrong hoop or something like that? It was who? Joe. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Joe. And I'm like, I was telling our team, I was like, just let them shoot. Stop blocking them. It was Ilya Mark blocking you. If I was on a basketball team and I was blocking the wrong people and I was shooting at the wrong, they're not going to have that. They're going to take me out, put me on the bench. We're there to play and help our team. What are you doing to help the cause of Christ? When we got saved, we chose to join ourselves to Christ. We need to live our lives like that. We need to figure out what Christ's mission is and have that be the goal of our life. Not what job we're going to get, not how much money we're going to make, or this dream house that I would like, or this car that I really, really, really want. What does Christ want? First and foremost, do we follow Christ's example when he lived on this earth? After his resurrection, he died on the cross, was put in the grave, and after his resurrection, he got out of the tomb. He said, I don't want to be around the dead, I want to be around the living. And we were dead in our sins, and we accepted Christ as our Savior. Why do we want to go back to the things that he saved us from? The dingy, smelly place of the dead, the grave, the tomb. He didn't want to be around the dead. He wanted to be around the living. When we got saved, that should be our goal, to walk in newness of life. Have a change in our life. Christ ministered to people, others. And yet, what does our flesh say? Myself, myself, myself. What can I do to benefit myself? What can I do to help myself? When we should have the mind of Christ, of thinking of others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like thee. It's not an easy task, and our flesh gets in the way, but that's what we should be striving for. After Christ's resurrection, he looked forward to going to heaven, his ascension up into heaven. Is heaven on our mind? Is that our ultimate goal, is to get to heaven? When we think of heaven and getting there, all the things on this earth, they don't mean a thing. They don't amount to anything. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. That's not how we live most of the time. Most of the time we live through this world trying, what can I get? What can I get? What can I amount to in this world? This world is not my home. Just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Where are your treasures today? Where are they? When we stand before Christ someday, will you have crowns to cast at his feet? Or will your crowns be down here on this earth burning up because they're hay, wood, and stubble? Is there someone here today that possibly might have to say, I am not risen with Christ? I would venture to say most people would say they have accepted Christ as their Savior. But maybe there's someone here today that says, I haven't accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm actually struggling with that. And I know that in the past month or so, we've heard sermons about that. But let me ask you one thing. Is there a burden of sin on your heart that you can't get rid of? Are you miserably playing the game of Christian and doing so miserably, carrying that load of sin with you also? Just living a miserable life because you're carrying something that you don't have to carry. If you are currently carrying that sin burden, you know who you are. You can feel that burden right now. That burden on your chest. That sin weight. And Christ says, you don't have to carry that. You don't have to worry about that. Give it to me. My grandfather is 94 years old. He just turned 94 in February. Recently, when I was up there getting those tractors, I asked my grandfather, said, "Can you tell me about when you got saved?" And so he said, "I was 6 years old." And then he asked me how old I was when I got saved. And I said, "I was 10 years old." And he said, "What'd you wait so long for?" He's like, "Yes, Grandpa, why did I wait so long?" My great-grandfather, so I'm a fourth-generation Christian, my great-grandfather was out in the field pitching hay one day, my grandpa said. And he's pitching hay, and he said, God spoke to him and said, "Bishop, get your family to church." And of course, us bishops, we are stubborn, and we like to do our own thing. And my great-grandfather, he said, just went right back to work, pitching hay. And he said, God spoke to him a second time, said, "Bishop, you need to get your family to church." And he continued working. By the third time, he said, "Bishop, get your family to church." He said, my grandfather put the pitchfork down and said, "We're going to go to church." And that week, the local church in town was having a revival service. And my grandfather said by the second night, he was so under conviction, that burden was so heavy on his heart. He said by the time the invitation came, he looked over at his brother sitting next to him. My grandpa came from a large family, so there's a whole row. They took up the whole row. And my grandpa said to his brother, "If you go forward to the altar, I'll go with you." And his brother looked at him and said, "I went last night." He wasn't going to help him there. And about that time, his sister on his other side had gone forward. And he said, I'm going to go with her. And he went forward, prayed, and got saved. And he told me years later, he really struggled with that as he was looking back at it, because he said when he went forward, no one really prayed with him. No one even asked him about what he was doing. He went forward and got saved. And as he was struggling and praying and asking God about it, he just like, "Am I saved?" And God gave him a verse that said, Titus 1:2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." God wants us to be saved. And before the world began, he even promised it. And I like how that verse is phrased, says, "In hope of eternal life, which God," and just in case you're not realizing what God we're talking about, "which cannot lie." The God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And as he was praying about that situation, about whether or not he really got saved, God spoke to him and said, "When was that burden lifted off your soul?" And my grandpa says, "I know there was a burden there, and I know that burden was taken away." He said he was halfway down the pew, about 6 foot in from the aisle. He said, by the time he got up and made it to the end of the aisle, and before he made it to the altar, he said, "I know that burden was gone." And if you're carrying a burden here today, it's not yours to carry. Christ died on the cross to take that burden away. And if you don't know for sure that you're saved today, you can have that settled. Get rid of that burden. Stop playing the Christian life. You're carrying out too much stuff that you don't have to carry. Are you risen with Christ? Are you risen with Christ? And here's the real part of the sermon. If ye then be risen with Christ, here's what you're supposed to do. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Seek those things which are above. Let's not forget why we have the option of eternal life. Because Christ's death on the cross, because of his resurrection. It's because of those things. Because Christ is sitting on the right hand of God today, that we have the opportunity to go to heaven and live forever and ever for all eternity. Are we living like that? Are we living like we are grateful for what Christ has done for us? Christ is alive. He rose again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're not seeking the kingdom of God, you're looking in the wrong places. You're living a miserable life. You're not going to be happy like God wants you to be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need missionaries. We need pastors in America. We need young ladies that are, say, I'm willing to do whatever it is in the church, be a pastor's wife, whatever it is. That should be your first priority, is, Lord, is that what you want me to do? Because I am willing to do that no matter what. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Set your affections on things above and not on this earth. It's sad to me to see young people and adults of all ages just not taking the Christian life very serious at all. If we could realize the importance of what Christ did for us on the cross, can we picture the ramifications of what all took place there? He left heaven, didn't have to, lived a perfect life on this earth, and then was ridiculed and mocked and crucified on a cross, all because of us. And yet we can't give our life to him. Or at least we can't even pray, Lord, use me however way you want. That should be our prayer. If we could realize what really took place on that cross, we would have a different mindset.
Yes, sir.
How do you view your salvation? Do you believe in Christ's resurrection? Do you truly believe what he did for you? It would change our life. Colossians 1:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, because we don't have life without Christ, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Seek those things which are above. He is risen from the dead, and he is alive, sitting on the right hand of God. Matthew 6:19-20, a very common verse we know, lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't be mistaken. We're all going to stand before Christ someday. And we're going to answer, yes, our sins have been forgiven. And he's going to say, if you've accepted Christ your Savior, his sins are washed away, but we're still going to answer for what we've done on this earth for him. We're going to throw our crowns back at his feet. You know, the Bible talks about in Revelations, I was reading that a number of years ago, and it talked about wiping away tears in heaven. And I wonder, what tears in heaven? Aren't we all going to be happy in heaven? Why would he have to wipe away tears? Probably the tears from when we are judged and realize we could have done so much more for him. Maybe we'll see our lost co-workers sent to hell, banished to hell for all eternity. Lost family members that we never witnessed to. And I think we're going to be pretty sad as we see what we could have done and what we put a priority on this earth, the fun and games, the job, the money, the biggest house, all those things. And we could have or should have put our priorities on Christ. And God says he's going to wipe away those tears from our eyes. Are you serious about living for Christ? We have it so easy here in America to do so. Sometimes it really just doesn't cost us a lot to be a Christian here. As a matter of fact, it's easy for us just to play the life on Sunday and then live for ourselves the rest of the week. Have you ever taken some time to consider what others go through to be a Christian? I was reading recently about a couple stories about what other Christians have gone through to be a Christian. One story was a man in the Soviet Union who sat at his kitchen table and explained to his family that he would be going to prison the next day for being a Christian. Because of their family's faith, and during this time, the Soviet Union, it's very common that for them to be hanging whole families for believing in Christ. And during this time, the great persecution on Christians' lives, the father went on to tell his family at the table that day, he said, "When I'm in prison, if I were to hear that my family was hanged because they would not reject Christ," he said, "I would be the proudest person in prison." That's what some Christians are going through, just to be a Christian. Another story from the Soviet Union, there's a group of pastors put into a concentration camp for well over a year. After some time of being tortured in this prison camp, they allowed some of the pastors' wives and family to come and visit. One little boy and his mom were visiting, and they were looking for their father, and they could not find him. After a while, two men carried this lifeless body out. They did not recognize him. It was his father. And the boy sat there and looked at his father, and when he realized it was his father, he said, "Dad, I am proud of you. I am proud of you." The wife looking at her husband, sickly, beat up, barely has any life in him, knew exactly what her husband wanted. And when the guard wasn't looking, she attempted to slip a New Testament Bible under his clothing. Not being successful, the guard saw her and seized the New Testament. The guard shaking the Bible, yelling at the wife, says, "Don't you realize it's because of this book and your God that your husband's here today? Don't you realize that at my word, I can have your husband killed, you killed, and your son killed?" And the wife stood up to that guard and said, "You can kill my husband, and you can kill me, and you can kill my son, but you will never separate me from the love of God." Amen. And yet we just walk right into church. Don't have to worry about if someone followed us here. Don't have to worry about if something's going to happen, if we're too loud, or if someone knows. I mean, we have a steeple that sits 80 feet up in the air. We got bells that ring. Everyone knows we're here. We don't face persecution. There's a group of Christians in China. I found this kind of interesting. The topic of Bible college, the idea of Bible college came up with these Christians in China. And they said, in China, you haven't been to Bible college until you've gone to prison. They said, prison is our Bible college. They just expect that if you're going to live for Christ, at some point in your life, you will be in prison for a short period of time. It was just common. They expected it. We have freedoms here as Christians that no one has ever known. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Dr. Mitchell, a few weeks ago in bus meeting, said, "To the world, we look like crazy people. Why would we give our whole day Sunday, go to church Sunday morning, Sunday school and Sunday morning, go pick up people on the bus route? Our whole day Sunday is focused around Christ." And then many of us go on Saturday to go out visiting 3, 4, 5 hours a day. Prison ministry during the week, Jolly 60s, nursing homes. Why do those people do that? It's because we believe in hell. And it's a real place. And we don't want anyone to go there. We walk right into church and we don't even take it seriously. We joke, we talk with our friends about things that necessarily aren't even godly things to talk about. We find things humorous during the church service, during the specials, during the choir singing, during the offertory, or even during the sermon, and we have to cut up and joke and laugh in the pew. Are we taking it seriously? In China, people are tracked by their cell phones, and many Christians will leave that cell phone at home. Or if they do have it, they're taking the battery out, they're turning it off, the SIM card's coming out. And we can't even put our phone down for an hour and a half while we're here at church. We have to know what that text message was. We have to know what that email coming in, or we have to know what's going, you know, did someone thumb up my social media account as I was in church? Where are your affections? On the things of this world or the things of Christ? Allow your service to God to cost you something here on this earth. Could we say, as King David did in 2 Samuel 24, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto my God of that which cost me nothing." Is your Christian service costing you something? It cost Christ something. We should be willing to have it cost us something. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, For by the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Are we living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope, heaven, and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ. Are you risen with Christ today? If so, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on this earth. Is that your prayer and heart's desire today? And if there's someone here today that has that burden of sin, today's the day. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Get that settled. There's no reason to carry that burden around. Stop pretending to be a Christian. And then when you give your life to Christ, make that your top priority.